but severe cases of hiccups do occur. If you have persistent hiccups that simply refuse to go away, you should probably consult a physician. This Moment of Science comes from Indiana University. We're on the web at amomentofscience.org. I'm Don Glass.
And now to sports. Arizona quarterback Kurt Warner has announced his retirement after a 12-year NFL career. The 38-year-old, former league and Super Bowl MVP, steps down 1 year after leading the Cardinals to their first Super Bowl appearance. Top seed Serena Williams and unseeded Justine Henin will square off for the Australian Open women's title tomorrow morning. Henin is competing in her first Grand Slam event since returning from a 20-month retirement, while Williams is going for her fifth Australian Open crown. Is there a college football game in Wrigley Field's future? University of Illinois Athletic Director Ron Gunther says the Illini are willing to play Northwestern at Wrigley in November, but the final decision rests with the Wildcats. The Chicago Bears called the ballpark home for about 50 years. The University of Illinois women fell to Michigan last night at Assembly Hall 64-48. The Fighting Illini have dropped five straight games and are now 11-9 on the season, 3-7 in the Big Ten. Next up for the University of Illinois men, Indiana, tomorrow afternoon at Assembly Hall. The Chicago Bulls close out their seven-game road trip tonight against the New Orleans Hornets. The Bulls are seeking their fifth win in a row after starting the trip with back-to-back losses. And it's a night off for the first-place Chicago Blackhawks, who are savoring last night's 4-3 overtime win against Western Conference leader San Jose. The Blackhawks have moved within a point of the Sharks. They finish an eight-game road trip tomorrow at Carolina. That's sports.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting The Band of the Irish Guards, featuring pipes, drums, and Highland dancers of the Royal Regiment of Scotland on February 9th. More information can be found online at krannertcenter.com.
It's 2:43. Illinois' lieutenant governor historically has had few official duties, but with just days before the primary, six Republicans are wanting to take on the usually low-profile job. In the second of two reports, Illinois Public Radio's Whitney Jones reports on the Republican candidates for lieutenant governor.
The main function of a lieutenant governor is to be ready. If something happens to the governor, the position takes on a much greater importance. That means candidates like Springfield attorney Don Tracy would someday find themselves in charge of state government. Tracy, whose family owns Dot Foods, a food redistribution business, won't rule out the need for the state to raise taxes, but he says cuts would have to come first.
Regarding cutting, the first place to look would be Medicaid spending, and we would have to take the approach that we take at Dot Foods. Dot Foods has been successful because it carries groceries around the country faster, cheaper, and more efficiently than anybody else. And we fight for pennies here and pennies there, and we need to take that same approach to state government, particularly to Medicaid, which is runaway spending and is unsustainable.
While running for lieutenant governor, Tracy calls the position expendable. In the 1980s, a lieutenant governor resigned, claiming he was bored. Tracy points out framers of the Constitution recognized its lack of importance, choosing to keep it empty if the office holder leaves in the middle of a term. That's the current situation. When Pat Quinn left to become governor, there was no way to replace him. Palatine Senator Matt Murphy says he's also open to the idea of getting rid of the position. Murphy is running as an unofficial team with gubernatorial hopeful Andy McKenna. On the topic of the budget, Murphy says he vehemently opposes a tax increase. Instead, he wants to cut spending. On top of that, he says his goal as lieutenant governor would be to bring back jobs to the state.
That at 11% unemployment, with one of the worst job records in the country already, you raise taxes, more people will be out of work.
Political newcomer and businessman Jason Plummer of Edwardsville agrees. He says Illinois doesn't have a revenue problem, but a spending problem. He says he wants to get around a tax increase by cutting the budget and making Illinois more friendly to companies.
More people can be employed, and everything they do will help us generate more revenue to the government.
Orland Park Lieutenant Governor hopeful Dennis Cook is also opposed to a tax hike. He says Illinois has been spending beyond its means. Cook says his experience as a school board president has prepared him for managing a large budget.
Listen, I've balanced a budget. I've had six consecutive years of a balanced budget with surpluses. That's something that I would like to bring to state Illinois.
Downstate pastor Randy White of Hamilton says he wants to change the way politics is done in Illinois in order to cut spending. He says his first target would be state legislators.
One of the very first things that I propose to do when I am elected is to stand up and call for our legislators with their gold-plated payment plan that they have on and ask them to reduce their pay, their pension, and their retirement.
A Southern Illinois mayor rounds out the field. Brad Cole of Carbondale says he won't out the need to raise taxes.
The fact of the matter is we could cut all discretionary spending out of the state budget and still not fix the deficit, whether it's $11 or $12 or $13 billion.
Cole says the only way to balance the budget is to do a top-to-bottom review of all the programs and agencies. He says that merging and eliminating some could help cut costs. The Republican candidate who wins the primary will be paired with the winning Republican gubernatorial candidate in the November general election. I'm Whitney Jones.
There are Polish neighborhoods on Chicago's northwest side where stores are empty of customers or even closed down. Merchants and priests there say they're being hit by a double whammy, the weak economy and Poles returning home. Lynette Kalsnes reports.
Well, here we're at the front of the store. We have a lot of the Polish stickers, Polish hats, Polish souvenirs, okay?
There's a bright red and white store in the heart of Chicago's old Polish district. The Polish Store Chicago sells everything from cologne to Polish T-shirts and flags for parades. Today, it's empty.
As a business person who is reliant on the Polish community in order to make a living, I'm basically hanging on by my fingernails.
Owner Mark Brzezinski says business is down 75%, and not just because of the recession.
Before, there was new faces every day. Now, we don't see new faces anymore, meaning nobody's coming, and the old faces are disappearing.
People are moving back to Poland, and new immigrants aren't coming to replace them. The Migration Policy Institute says net migration between the U.S. and Poland has been flat since 2007. You can see the impact in local churches. At St. Constance Church, Father Ted Jeszko says he gets calls nearly every week from people wondering if they should stay or go.
Definitely they are afraid, you know, to go back to Poland because after so many years of not being there, they do not know what's waiting there for them. If they'll be able to get a job there, if they'll be able to survive, they feel like, you know, here in America more home than there, but the whole situation is not very good, so they start to panic, and sometimes, you know, that's how they make the decision.
It happens often enough. One of the priests offers up a special prayer at a recent Mass.
And also for Polish immigrants going back to Poland and immigrants coming from Poland to the United States. May God bless them as we make this important decision in their lives.
A few miles away, St. Hyacinth Basilica has lost about 40% of its parishioners in 5 years. Father Michael Osu acknowledges some are moving to the suburbs, but he estimates half went back to Poland.
It's difficult because our church is big. If we'll not have enough people to support the church, we'll have difficult time to open the church every single day.
No one knows how many Poles have left, but there are signs of their absence all over the community. Advertising at the Polish Daily News is down 40%. Apartment rentals have dropped too. LOT Polish Airlines has flown more people to Poland than the U.S. in recent years.
That's very sad because we just think that there is no longer American dream.
Joanna Bohenik is vice president of Polomer Travel Agency.
There is lack of jobs. You don't make money now in America. People are going back because they don't feel that they can live, you know, well here.
It doesn't help that so many Polish immigrants work in construction and transportation, industries hit hard by the downturn in the U.S. economy. But it's not just that. Despite the global recession, Poland's doing pretty well right now.
Poles who are living in the United States, they travel over there. They see what is going on.
Zygmunt Matynia is the Polish consul general in Chicago.
Those cities are doing very well. And people who were pushed out from the country some time ago, they see how Poland is doing. And they make a decision to go back.
There's another motivator. Poles who are here legally are tired of waiting for the immigration system to reunite their families. That's how Grażyna Zajączkowska sees it. She directs immigrant services at the Polish-American Association. Zajączkowska says more pressure has come with the general crackdown on illegal immigrants since 2001.
In a minute, someone can knock on your door and your mother or father can be deported and you will see them on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So it's just a thing, you know, you can't really forget. It's with you all the time.
Contrast that with Poland, where people can travel and work freely across much of the EU through a quick bus or train ride from their families. All of this makes Poland look more appealing. That doesn't mean the decision is easy.
Oh, it's really difficult. I mean, I've got so many friends here, relatives, you know, so it's tough. I mean, it's not just the people and the economy. It's your life.
Chicago roofer Jacek Kowalczyk is a dual citizen. He's lived here 17 years. He says he and his wife are trying to figure out what's best for them and their three children.
I'm right now, you know, I'm not decided. I'm just hoping that it's going to get better in the United States. Politicians are going to change their view which way we should go. If they're not going to do it, I'm just going to go back to Europe. The future for my kids is going to be better than here.
If Kowalczyk goes back, that's one less customer for businesses like the Red Apple Restaurant. The long buffet is piled high, but there are only a dozen customers. Manager Rosa Komrowska looks around the nearly empty restaurant.
It is sad because it used to be a very vivid neighborhood, and now it's kind of sad. Streets are not full of people as they used to be.
The Chicago area is home to about 1 million Poles and people of Polish descent. It's been sustained by wave after wave of Polish immigrants. Komrowska and others in Chicago's Polonia community worry if immigration stays flat like it is now, it could undermine the rich traditions here, like dance, music, and all the famous delis. But a Columbia College history professor who's written about the community isn't concerned. Dominic Pasiga says he doesn't think there's much chance of a massive remigration.
I don't think they're in danger of that right now because the migration has always been so steady. And what you're seeing now is, because of the current recession, a blip. But it is something to consider.
Pasiga points out this isn't the first time Poles went home. It happened before, after Poland gained its independence in 1918. If the U.S. economy booms again, Pasiga expects plane loads of Poles. I'm Lynette Kalsness.
1, 2, 3. I love youth-led projects. I saw some really wonderful children addressing the town about the needs that they felt were in this community.
I think that the community, they had lost jobs and, you know, employers and so on, and kind of gotten down and really lost a lot of hope. WILL really worked as a facilitator to bring the youth and the community together.
I like to help out more now that I know that there's stuff you can do to help kids. So I like to help in the community.
Well, I know that it just really helps my little sister. And she looks up to me, and I just like being there for her every week to help her out.
So with WILL coming into Hoopston and being able to help us and make those connections with our youth has been incredibly impactful, not just for the city to be able to say we have this partnership, but for the youth to say they've been a part of something and you know, be recognized for it and continue to help develop that.
My relationship with WILL has changed. Before, you were just a TV station that I would watch occasionally. And now it's more, you're more personal to me because you made an impact on our community and on the students.
My name is Kay Brown, and WILL is my source for ongoing support.
WILL, an important part of so many communities in East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. And with me in the studio this afternoon is a member of our development staff, Heather Miller. We are in a mini drive here. What we're looking for is people to join us and support the service that you count on. As you sort through your obligations, we hope you will consider this. We bring you news, information, music, and entertainment each and every day. We keep you in touch with the world of politics, economics, and the arts, and your neighbors. We accompany you to work in the morning, and we're with you back home again each night. We fill you in on the news you need to know to make decisions in your life. So you depend on AM 580 for so much, and we depend on you to keep the service strong. It's your financial support that keeps us going here at WILL. Please give us a call at 217-244-9455 now with your renewal. Heather?
Hi, Celeste. Yes, if it's time for you to renew, perhaps you'd prefer to do that online. Maybe you're listening online right now, and you can go to willpledge.org and make that contribution. And at the $75 level, we'll say thank you with our stainless steel travel mug. It's a nice, sturdy mug, fits any car holder. It's got our new logo, Will, with the eye box in blue. It looks terrific. Keeps hot drinks hot, cold drinks cold, and it's got a heatherproof slide top lid to keep your car neat. For whatever the reason, if it's time to renew or you just want to make an additional gift, now is the time to do it. Call 217-244-9455 with your support.
Make supporting public radio part of your budget. Electronic funds transfer, or EFT, is a convenient and paperless and postage-free way to make regular monthly contributions to support WILL. It's the easiest way to give. When you call 217-244-9455, tell the phone volunteer you'd like more information about electronic funds transfer. 244-9455 is the number to call, or Heather, you can pledge online
at willpledge.org.
Thanks.
Earth and Sky.
Friday, January 29th, 2010. Two major astronomical events fall within 10 hours of each other tonight.
First, the planet Mars, the world most like Earth in our solar system, reaches opposition at 8 p.m. London time tonight. Second, the closest full moon of the year comes around 6 a.m. London time. That's around midnight tonight for us in the central U.S.
What's more, the moon is close to Mars tonight. They're near each other for good reason. The moon looks full when it's most directly opposite the sun in Earth's sky. And because it's now at opposition, Mars is also most directly opposite the sun in our sky. So the moon and Mars are near each other tonight on this special night.
And remember, the second thing that makes it special is this year's closest full moon being less than 360,000 kilometers away. Meanwhile, Mars is nearly 100 million kilometers from Earth now. It's about 62 million miles distant.
So look for Mars and the moon tonight. These two worlds will rise in the east around sunset, be highest in the sky around midnight, and they'll set in the west tomorrow around sunrise. And don't forget, Earth in its smaller, faster orbit around the sun is passing between the sun and Mars today. I'm Deborah.